We've got all the racing news and people from around Victoria, racing's greatest state.
Welcome along to Coleraine, Bendigo, Ballarat, Warrnambool, Bet365, Geelong. And good morning, everybody, from Swan Hill.
Welcome to the South Turf Club.
All ready. Off they go.
For Country Racing Victoria, this is the Country Racing Show. Where we belong.
Country race is strong. It's time for the Country Racing Show here on RSN Central. And let's welcome in the star of the show, Nikita Ross. Good morning, Nikita.
Morning, Matt. How's things with you this Thursday?
Yes, I'm well. It's not too bad. I must admit, a week ago when I was in Port Douglas, things were probably a little bit. But anyway, it's great to be back. It's great to be back. And I'm sure the guys that were looking after RSN Central last week did a great job at Benalla. I was tuning in, Matty Stewart and Dan Malecki.
That's right. They were out at Benalla, which was a fantastic day there, Cup Day. Not usual glorious, of course, taking out the Benalla Gold Cup. And Tom Rockliffe, a former classmate of mine, actually was in the ownership of the horse. So I could imagine, only imagine winning your hometown cup is pretty special. I don't believe he was on course, but would have had something to cheer about. And also the other cup on the day, of course, sign of Missouri was able to take out the Coleraine Cup, Madison Lloyd riding that galloper. So it was a big weekend to kick things off, and we continue on this weekend.
Yeah, Tommy Rockliffe was on the Breakfast Club earlier in the week, actually, reflecting on the win. So loves his horses, and yes, it was a great win there for Travis Dowdle in the Benalla Gold Cup. Unfortunate news earlier in the week with the release that Gunbow has been postponed this week due to the state of the track, which is so unfortunate after the last couple of years. And their general manager, Mick Farrant, has actually been good enough to jump on the line and have a chat about things and what they're planning on doing to get this meeting postponed. Hey, Mick, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for jumping on.
Hey, Matt, how are you going? Hi, Nikita, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mick. Look, I think all our hearts broke for the club earlier in the week when the call was made to postpone your cup. Bookings had gone so well. It was looking like it was going to be a magnificent day, your first time back at the track since 2019. So talk us through how that all come about so early in the week.
We were very unfortunate. We just had those weather events that kept coming. And on the 16th, we had a track inspection and we passed. It looked magnificent out there. We had working bees, that was on the Friday. We had working bees on the Saturday and the Sunday. And, of course, I'm pretty blessed with committee, so we had great numbers out there doing jobs, just finishing up jobs, really, you know, putting a bit of polish on this and that. But on the Sunday in particular, we just had storm after storm keep coming through. Every half hour it would rain. The sun might come out for a bit, but then we get another one. And you could just see water starting to lay everywhere, and the ground was saturated, and including, obviously, the track. And unfortunately for us, our track is a laser track and it's usually flood irrigated. Not that we've done that this year, we haven't had to. And it all runs to certain drainage points. And they, of course, get more and more and more water thrown at them. And it gets to a point where they just don't drain. So Sunday was a bad one for us. That Sunday was a bad day. And I thought, look, we've got a couple of 20s coming. And we did work to make sure that any water was on the track was off the track. And I thought, gee, this is going to be close. So I'd called one of the stewards, Pete Ryan, very good. I said, look, mate, come out and have a look at this. We've got issues out here, I think. And we hadn't put marquees and those sorts of things up yet. So I thought, we've got a lot of stuff in front of us. And anyway, Pete had come out to have a look, but on his way out, we got another 14 mil of rain in a hit, just like that. In that time, Swan Hill was called off on the same day, that morning. They'd gotten an inch, I think, up there, 25 mil up there. And that was coming to us. And then looking at the weather, we had no drying days whatsoever. And when we took a really hard look at things, the car park, we wouldn't have gotten cars in there. We wouldn't have been able to park buses. By the time we put the marquees up, it would have been a quagmire down through the grassed area where they were because our lawns were just laying with water. And once again, then it came back to the track. And first and foremost, you've got to think about jockeys and horses and safety. And then you go to the crowd and look at what sort of day could we have provided, just due to the weather that was coming and that we'd had. So the decision was a tough one. It was a really tough one, and don't worry, very heartfelt, but it had to be made. So that's how it ended up.
Yeah, gee, La Nina's just been devastating for so many people around Australia over the last year or so, and it doesn't look like it's going to ease up over the next couple of months either. So let's hope that for all the country races and every meeting and everyone is able to try and dodge it as best they possibly can. Just in terms of when the meeting might potentially be postponed to, Mick, I know that it's obviously still early days and This was a call that was made really early in the week, tactically and smartly by yourself and others. But have you had a chance to think about when you might be able to move this meeting too?
We have had a bit of a chat. We had a meeting Monday night. Of course, it was very somber, as you would imagine. And the committee, once again, I reiterate, we've got a magnificent committee, but they're all a bit down in the dumps, and no one was really wanting to talk about new dates and things like that too much. And I put it out there and said, look, after talking to the boys at CRV, there is opportunity perhaps for us to go just for this year and go and take our old date, which is the first Saturday in January, and maybe have a meet then. And we've been in discussions or light discussions through the day with Echuca, and they may have a meeting that they won't be able to participate in due to track repairs. There may be a slight chance that we could take that meeting and bring it out to Gumbau and run it as our cup meeting. So there are a couple of options there for us, but we do have another meeting on Sunday and a bit of a working bee to pack things away, believe it or not. And we'll have a barbecue with the committee and then sit around and have a couple of drinks and just discuss it. And I think that gives the committee a week, or that'll give them the committee roughly a week to sort of get over the heartfelt loss of not being able to race. A lot of work goes in there, and all volunteer committee. And the other thing is, I think they're a bit daunted because we had so many packages booked. I know we had people coming from Queensland and South Australia. We had wedding anniversaries. One bloke had called me and said, look, it's my wife's wedding anniversary. I'm going to come to Echuca. We're really going to surprise her at the races. And we had football and netball clubs and hens parties and bucks parties. So I just take this opportunity to say to those people, I know you'll be disappointed, and no one will be more disappointed than us that we haven't been able to put that day on, because so many would have been looking forward to it. So as a committee or as a president and a member of the committee, I just say we really are sorry that it turned out this way. This is not what we wanted.
Well, Mick, we certainly feel your pain, and we're all hoping and praying that that meeting can eventually get up. And, it's been such a difficult few years for so many people, especially these country race clubs and those that rely on, select meetings throughout the year and people on course. So we wish you all the best. Well done on making a really tactical call early on. And, good luck over the next couple of months to try and get this meeting back up and going.
No worries. Thanks very much, Matt and Nicky. We appreciate the time you've given us. And once again, I reiterate, we just do feel for those people that book packages and wanted to come out to Gumbau and enjoy the day there. It was going to be such a big day. We estimated we were going to have on bookings over 4,000 people. And I just hope, whatever we do going forward, that those same people jump back on board and have another crack with us. So thanks for your time and thanks for your support.
Good on you, Mick. There we go. That's Mick Farrant there, the general manager of the Gunbow Race Club. And your heart does break for those clubs and those people involved, doesn't it, Nikita? Because they put so much time and effort into getting it up and going, and then it's out of their hands, in the lap of the gods with the weather.
It is, and really well spoken by Mick as well. No one's feeling it more than the club and the committee that put all that hard work into it. So feeling for them, and they've just had a terrible run of bad luck. But fingers crossed they can get that meeting on a new date and have a successful day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopeless romantic as well, going there for the wedding anniversary.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll head to Warragul in a moment for the second event on that program. In a couple of minutes' time, we'll catch up with Tom Dabernig as well to have a chat to him about how he's moved to Warrnambool, has gone over the last 12 months, and he's got a few horses engaged there at Matoa on Saturday, and also a horse in the Matoa Cup. So looking forward to catching up with Tom Dabernig. Now, this is RSN Central's Country Racing Show on this Thursday morning. You're with Matt Nevitt and Nikita Ross. Now, one segment we're going to do each and every week here on the Country Racing Show is called What Caught My Eye. So over the past 7 days, something that stood out, could be a really nice story, big win, something like that. And if there's a listener out there who's got something that they want to raise as well, feel free to text us in as well, 0416 90 50 52. So, Nikita, how do you kick us off here with this segment on the show?
It's an original name, isn't it, What Caught My Eye? But that's basically it. And like you said, Matt, really keen for the listeners to get involved in this and send us through some stories. But one that caught my eye, Russell Osborne, a local Benalla trainer, had success last Friday with Noble Night Owl, and that was his 100th career winner. So he's been around for a long time, Russell, and obviously they do so much there, Riverbank Farms, so they're very involved in breeding, racing. His wife Carolyn's a vet, so she was off doing a foaling the morning of race day and she was going to be running late. So they're very busy people who work hard, and to notch up his 100th career winner at his home track, I thought was a great achievement. Yeah. So that's what caught my eye.
Great start to the segment. Very good start. I was getting ready for a wedding that I went to last Friday, and I had racing.com on as I was getting ready watching Benalla, and gee, the third race and the story behind that really put a smile on my face. So, Could Be Famous won the race for trainer Gordon Strang, and jockey Samantha Noble was in the saddle. And they just made me smile listening to them both talk after the race. Obviously, Gordon, small-time trainer, only has a few horses in work. Samantha does a lot of work for him, and he wants to be, you know, he was trying to be loyal to her by throwing her on as much as he possibly can. And you could just see how much it meant to them both to get a victory, not just for themselves, but to do it with one another. And I thought it was a really nice little story there at Benalla on Friday.
Absolutely. They're the stories that we love and what we love about country racing. So, yeah, I think we kicked off pretty well, Matt.
Yeah.
So a couple of nice stories, and looking forward to doing this each and every week and trying to uncover some of those little-known facts, I suppose, or things that are feel-good stories.
Yeah, that's right. And Sean Cosgrove's got a great eye for a good story. So he'll be our third wheel on the show next week as well. So looking forward to hearing what Cozzy has to say next week. Now, Tom Dabernick's got a busy couple of days ahead of him. He's got a runner engaged in the Matoa Cup on Saturday. He's got runners at Moonee Valley on Friday night. And he's been good enough to join us on the Country Racing Show for a bit of a chat. Good morning to you, Tom.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Tom, you've got a team of three heading to Matoa. We'll kick off with that before we find out a little bit about, I believe it's been just on 12 months since you made the move, but we'll kick off with your runners looking forward to Saturday at Matoa. And you've got two first starters going around. Eye Catching is the first in race number two. What can you tell us about this horse?
So she's a filly that was sent to me by Ken King. She's had three jump outs with me. They've all been on wet ground, and she's performed, reasonably well in all of them. She possibly might need a little bit further in time, but 1200 is probably a good kickoff point. She's drawn well. We've got a jockey that rides plenty of winners, so yeah, I think she'll run well, but she'll naturally improve from the run, and probably when we get her over a little bit further.
And Bond Your Back makes its debut in the third from barrier one.
Yes, it's a Ken King horse as well. It probably looks a little bit sharper than the filly in the 1200 maiden. He's only had the two trials, but on Monday I took him to Coleraine for a gallop on the course proper. So, yeah, he's ready to go to the races, and those Vobis three-year-old maidens are never easy, but the way he's trialled, he should run a competitive race, and he's also trialled on wet ground. So the track is currently just in the heavy range, and we've got reasonable weather heading into Saturday. So it'll probably still be soft, but an improving track, but there'll be a bit of moisture still in the ground, I'd say.
And Tom, Lunatic Fringe takes her place in the Matoa Cup on Saturday. First up, how forward is she ahead of this first run back?
Well, it's first up over 2,000, which is something I don't normally do. But she's a real stayer, and she never actually went out of work. The story with her is she's been very tricky to get in the gate. She's fine in the barriers, but she got an embargo on her at Swan Hill when she won at her last start. And then she spent some time with Dane Smith, who trains at Stall, but he's also one of Racing Victoria's barrier attendants, and he's done a great job in getting her reinstated. So my theory of going straight to 2,000 is she, although she's won at a mile on 1,700, I just thought she might get back and run on and find it a little bit sharp. And she's one that if she sort of has the run over 2,000 and competes well, it opens up some options for some other country cups if she shows that she's in the right frame of mind.
All right, that's Lunatic Fringe in the Matoa Cup there on Saturday. You've got a busy weekend ahead, Tom. I mentioned the Valley. You've also got runners at Bendigo on Sunday. And you've got one in Adelaide as well on Saturday. It's been 12 months since you, or just over 12 months since you made the move to Warrnambool. How, when you reflect on your 12 months there and the move, how do you reflect upon it? Have you enjoyed the move down to the Bull?
Yes, we've loved it. We were looking for a bit of a sea change, and my wife and I are sort of born and bred country people, so it wasn't a real adjustment moving to Warrnambool. In fact, like, Warrnambool's a lot bigger town than what where we've come from. So the conveniences have been good. It's a very much a racing town. It's got quite its own sort of racing economy with lots of local support. They really get behind all their trainers, and you have access to, even though the racing industry's going through a bit of a staff shortage, the local sort of staff here I've found to be really good. So we've enjoyed it. I've got three sons, and they're all vary in ages, but the elder son, he's been helping me quite a bit, which I've enjoyed, and they're all actively involved and settled in well. So no, we've enjoyed the move, and we purposely came down here to run a smaller stable, and we've been overwhelmed with support with horses. So yeah, hopefully we had not a bad first 12 months, and hopefully we can keep the winners rolling through. I haven't got any real main spring horse. I've got Flying Mascot, who will race over the spring, but I'd probably have more a team that would get winners around the country tracks or over the summer period.
That was going to be my next question, Tom. Did you envisage when you made the move that your team would grow to what it is now, and how many horses do you have in work currently?
Oh, I've got stabling for 40, which we're full, and that's a nice, manageable number. And the one thing with Warrnambool is everywhere we travel is a little bit of a trip. So at the moment, I've got some really good people in Darren Bell and the team around me, so they've been a big help. And my wife Cassie is very hands-on with it all, probably more admin than hands-on in the stables. But so we're all enjoying working together, and the numbers, we possibly might get a few more boxes, but I can't imagine we'd ever get bigger than 50.
Well, Tom, looking forward to seeing what you can do over the weekend. You've got a host of runners engaged. Have you got a best for us?
Moonee Valley looks tough on Friday night, but if Lunatic Fringe behaves herself, which is the key point at the gate, she's quite a handy staying there. So yeah, I think that would certainly, it wouldn't be beyond her to win a race like that. But with the time between runs, 2,000 metres, I just hope she doesn't get the stitch for the last 200. Will be my only query.
Good on you, Tom. Appreciate your time on RSN Central this afternoon. It's a busy weekend ahead, so we wish you all the best, and thanks for jumping on for a chat.
Cheers, thank you.
There is Tom Dabenig, who has made the move to Warrnambool. He's been there for around 12 months now, and he's kicking plenty of goals, Nikita.
Absolutely, and as you mentioned, Matt, well-travelled as well, so plenty of horses and placing them and doing the travel to give his horses every possible chance.
Now, time is going to beat us here, as it often does after midday with the races, but just quickly, what's ahead in country racing?
Yeah, so we've got, obviously, as we just mentioned, the Matoa Cup on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Really looking forward to that. And then looking forward to Sunday, there's a terrific meeting there. It is the Bet365 Seymour Cup to be held at APM Bendigo, and that's a really nice quality field there. So that is on Sunday at Bendigo.
Yeah, it's a cracking field engaged there for the Seymour Cup, and all these country cups now over the summer months tend to have these strong fields, so it's an exciting time to be involved in country racing. Looking forward to next Thursday, Nikita, and we will have that third wheel of our show engaged, Sean Cosgrove, so looking forward to him being part of the team as well.
Can't wait, Matt.
There is Nikita Ross from Country Racing Victoria.